chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. Mitch and Lindsay, Ashley and Ryan, as you bring Brooks and Chase to be baptized this morning, this gospel text is particularly appropriate because it raises the question, what is the essence of our calling as followers of Jesus? Now, the answer to this is important. If you believe your calling is to dominate the world and others, you will relate to people in a particular way, with some very specific actions you take to break them down mentally, physically, emotionally. If your calling is to love your neighbor, you will relate to people in a different way, again, with some specific actions designed to build them up physically, spiritually, emotionally. What does Jesus say about our calling as human beings? Well, the first answer he gives is one that any Jew would give. It comes from the Shema, the Jewish equivalent to our Apostles' Creed, a statement of faith. And it's based on Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." In other words, with all that you are, your whole being, nothing is held back in loving God. And this makes sense. As our confirmands asserted rightly on Wednesday as we were studying the Ten Commandments, the first commandment, "I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods," is the greatest because without it, the rest just don't mean much. God is what we fear, love, and trust the most. Now, Jesus' answer would sound right even to the Pharisees. But then Jesus continues, and there's another one like it. "Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two." Now, that last language is a bit obscure to us, but it would be easily understood by those who were standing around him. The first five books of the Hebrew Scriptures is called the Torah, the law. The other main texts read and studied by the Jews were those written by the prophets. Everything in Scripture, Jesus is telling them, everything authoritative to you hangs on these two things, love of God and love of neighbor. And it is a calling that we see in God's own activity. The Ten Commandments is split in this way. There are three commandments that deal with our relationship with God. You shall have no other gods. Do not make wrongful use of God's name. Rest regularly in God. And then there are seven that deal with our relationship with each other. Honor your parents and all those in authority. Don't murder, steal, commit adultery, lie about people. Don't covet things that belong to other folks. The law demands righteousness, right relationship with God. The prophets demand justice for people on the margins. The prophets are warning Israel that their actions, their neglect of the poor, widows, orphans, and aliens in their land come from their worship of other gods. Now, Jesus is saying that righteousness and justice are intertwined, are related to one another, even as our love of God and our love of neighbor are interrelated. So you have your marching orders. Mitch, Lindsay, Ashley, and Ryan, teach Brooks and Chase to love God with all that they are and to love their neighbors as themselves. But you might rightly ask the question, well, okay, what does that mean? Give us some specifics here. What does it mean to love God with all that we are? There are many answers, but we get some specific ones in the rite of baptism. It means living with other faithful people. It means coming into the presence of God in worship and through Scripture. It means learning and practicing the art of prayer, of speaking to God and listening for God. It means making all of those things a priority in your life over and above all other things. Sports, work, play, family, our phones, the internet. Because we are to love God with all that we are, to give our best and first to God, because what we place in front of us, what we feed ourselves and our children, shapes us. Okay, there's some specifics there, but what does it mean to love your neighbors? Well, first, we have to understand that here, love is not an emotion. It is how we act towards people. Matthew is a gospel that says faith is lived, not spoken. It's not just lip service, but lived service. And that our actions speak louder than our words in both faith towards God and love to one another. Now, this understanding can rub us Christians who happen to be Lutheran a little wrong. While we tend to focus, especially on Reformation Sunday, on the primacy of grace, that we do nothing to earn our salvation, that it is pure, unexpected, and unearned gift, kind of like that $5 that we gave out at the beginning of the month. Can you remember that? We often forget, though, that when that conversation about salvation is done, Martin Luther pointed to the fact that grace has not only freed us from sin, death, and the devil, but freed us to serve our neighbor. Luther is also quoted as saying that God does not need our good works, but our neighbor does. And as we learned in the Gospel of Luke last year, our neighbor is the one who is in need. We're freed from trying to please God with our behavior so that we might serve our neighbor. And so how do we love our neighbor in deed and truth, not just lip service? Well, we love our neighbor as we care about them in the ways that the Gospel of Matthew will lay out in the 25th chapter. We feed the hungry. We clothe the naked. We shelter the homeless, things that we have recommitted ourselves to as a congregation for 2021. And we do this as we share of ourselves and all the abundance that we have, as we share our time and attention with our neighbor in need, as we share our resources, the abundance God has given us to steward, to manage. And we do this as we recognize that the cups overflowing set before us are for sharing, as the owner of those cups has done with us. We love our neighbor when we treat them with respect for the image of God that exists in them, regardless of how they treat us. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. We love our neighbor when we follow the 8th commandment against bearing false witness and instead speak well of them and look at what they do in the best possible light regardless of their actions. Can you imagine what our political discourse would be if we just followed those two acts of love? Now, it doesn't mean that all would be right in the world, all conflict and difference of opinion would cease. We're human beings, after all, and we are made different, thanks be to God. But the way in which we would disagree, the way in which we would work out those conflicts would be much different. Can we even use our divine imagination to get a sense of what that would look like? Well, in A Glimpse of Hope, we don't need to imagine. On Tuesday, Republican Lieutenant Governor Spencer Cox and law professor Chris Peterson, a Democrat, who are running against each other to be the next governor of Utah, appeared together in a series of ads calling for civility among voters. And in the ads, they point out that we can, quote, disagree without hating each other, that we can debate issues without degrading each other's character. They chose to do this, they said, because it helps American democracy. It works better in the long run, and because it is basic human decency. And I would add, because God calls us, commands us to do so. I encourage you to watch these ads. It can be a beacon of hope in a world that seems filled with hate. The church is always being reformed, changed, even as we are. We are always needing to reaffirm those promises made for us in baptism and that we made at confirmation. Promises that at the core say we will spend the rest of our lives loving God with all that we are, because God is the very one who gave us life, and loving our neighbors as ourselves, because in them we meet the image of God, because we might be the means by which God provides someone daily bread, because someone else might be the means by which we receive daily bread. We need to reaffirm them because we forget, we backslide, we fall prey to the belief that we are God and that we are called to dominate other people, at least those outside our tribe. And this is nothing less than idolatry, the breaking of the first commandment to have no other gods. We wake each day and affirm our commitment to this calling to love God and love our neighbors because we experience each day the freeing gift of grace, especially if we train ourselves to look for it. How do we do that? Well, we immerse ourselves in Scripture, the story of our ancestors of the faith, the story of God's pursuit of God's creation, our story of who God is, how God acts in the world, what is our purpose as human beings. And this is why both our Sunday school and our confirmation, we are going back to those stories and studying them, because that's how we find out who we are. On this Reformation Sunday, I pray that we would renew our commitment to the Word of God that is found in Scripture. I pray that we would be touched again by God's grace, even as we see it poured out on Brooks and Chase today. I pray that we would reaffirm our calling to love God with all that we are, love our neighbor as ourselves, so that we feed the hungry, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, so that through this all the world might glimpse the coming kingdom of God. Now that can sound like an impossible task. But as Jesus reminded us, with God, all things are possible. You tired? Come to the table. Receive the meal of bread and wine, Christ's body and blood that embody God's love, grace, and forgiveness for us. Be strengthened by it for the task ahead. Do you feel hopeless? Dip again into the waters of baptism. Feel God's grace and love cascading over you, washing you clean, making you new again. Giving us hope, giving us proof that change can happen. Come one, come all, to these visible signs of God's love for us and our neighbor, and receive them that we might be strengthened to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves. I invite you to stand as we sing our hymn of the day.